On today's episode of Hoops 360, can the Wings go from bottom of the league to the postseason? How will AZ Fudd and Paige Bueckers mesh at the pro level? Plus, Maya highlights some funny off-the-court quirks that some fans might not know about this team. What is up, everybody? Welcome into Hoops 360. On today's episode of the show, we welcome in Dallas news reporter Maya Taylor. She's on the Dallas Wings beat. Maya, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you for being here. How are we doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Excited to get all of your insight on what I think is one of the most interesting teams going into the 2026 WNBA season, and that is the Dallas Wings. So on today's episode, we'll touch on all things Wings. We'll get into, can they go from worst to first, or at least from bottom of the league into playoff contention in just one season? We'll deep dive into how they've constructed this roster in the offseason, and of course, the reunion of AZ Fudd and Paige Bueckers, former UConn teammates and back-to-back number one overall picks, and some other names to know and some things that Maya has been seeing in camp. So let's not waste any time at all. The Dallas Wings have been busy over the last couple of weeks, Maya. Free agency and obviously in the draft. I want to put free agency on hold for just a moment. I want to get back to that in just a little bit. I want to focus first on the draft. AZ Fudd is the number one overall pick in a draft that there wasn't really an obvious or consensus number one overall pick the first time in the last several years. So last year, obviously, Paige Bueckers, number one overall pick, Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, all unanimous consensus number one overall picks. There was debate even going up until draft time of who the Dallas Wings pick was going to be. Ultimately, it is AZ Fudd, Paige Bueckers' former UConn teammate. So I'll ask you, you know this team better than anyone. Did Dallas get this pick right?
You know, I really think that the Wings addressed what they needed. Similar to a lot of people going into this draft, I wasn't totally sure who they were going to pick. I mean, I did have an inkling it would be AZ, but, you know, they had a lot of needs to address after last season. They lost some players in the expansion draft. They needed to get more size. But then they did that in free agency. And that kind of cleared the way for AZ to come in. They were one of the worst shooting teams in the league last year, and AZ is a phenomenal shooter. So now they have her here, and she really addressed that need.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation about Awa Pham, you know, a player from Spain who has the size and the shooting ability. There was a lot of talk about Olivia Miles gaining a lot of traction going into draft night of, could she be the eventual number one overall pick? Ultimately, AZ Fudd is that pick, and you bring up free agency. But there were, this team had holes pretty much everywhere. Like, they had needs everywhere. So they addressed some of those in free agency. And Maya, I think the Wings were so strategic in free agency. You bring in Alana Smith, sign her to a 3-year max contract from the Minnesota Lynx. So she has experience in the league, experience winning a lot in this league. They bring in her teammate, Jessica Shepherd, from Minnesota as well. Also, Arike Ogunbowale's Notre Dame teammate. They won a national championship together. So the Wings brought in two players that are former teammates that have chemistry. One of those is Arike Ogunbowale's former teammate. They drafted Paige Bueckers' former teammate in AZ Fudd. I see what they're doing here. Like, I see the strategy here. What was your reaction to some of these free agent signings?
Yeah, I was really impressed, honestly, just by what they were able to do. There was also a lot of questions about what they were going to do with Arike after last season. You know, she didn't have her best season, and she ended the year with an injury. But her and Paige were able to get some chemistry going after the All-Star break. But there were still questions about, okay, if they're going to be building around Paige, does that include Arike as well? And so I personally thought it was cool to see her get re-signed. She's been around this organization for a really long time. And that front office, the leadership, they're really committed to her. So it'll be cool to see her return. Really, the most impressive thing, though, is just what they were able to do, you know, in retaining Alana Smith and getting Jessica Shepherd. They're returning Awat Kuir, who they drafted 2021, I believe, from overseas. And so they really were strategic about building up that front court to make sure that this is a competitive team, because that was a pretty big hole last year.
Yeah. And you bring up Arike. I loved that the Wings signed her to an extension, into a longer term extension. I think Arike Ogunbowale has shown the Dallas Wings so much loyalty. So the Wings saying, hey, you're coming off of an injury. You're coming off of not your best year. You're coming off of a year where your chemistry with our number one overall pick was very up and down. You mentioned they eventually found a little bit more consistency toward the end of the season. But ultimately, you know, it didn't always look like it was, you know, very – there was a lot of synergy there.
Yeah. So
there may have been some people, and I'm sure there were, a lot of people locally that were saying, you know, move on from Arike. I love that they decided to bring her back and to show loyalty to a player that has shown the Dallas Wings so much loyalty throughout her career.
Yeah, I agree. There definitely were a lot of people that were saying, hey, this is Paige's team now, and it's time to move on from Arike. But, you know, the Wings had other plans, and I think that the front office was pretty clear that that was one of their main goals, was to re-sign Arike. And the cool thing about her deal is that she could have qualified for that Supermax, but she took less. So that the Wings could really build up their roster in the way that they wanted to.
So all of those things considered, you bring back Arike Ogunbowale, obviously Paige, you draft AZ Fudd, you bring in Alana Smith, Jessica Shepherd, and all of these other offseason additions. Are the Dallas Wings now in a position to make a push for the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, my real answer is I don't know. I think that they have, yeah. I think that they have a lot to figure out. There's a lot of different pieces. One thing I will say is I think that they're going to win more games than they did last year. You know, looking back to last season, they did finish 10-34, but a lot of those 34 losses were decided by like very few points. They were always, or most of the time, they were right there in those games. And now that they have, you know, more of a star-studded roster, they have an experienced coach in Jose Fernandez, I definitely think that they're going to piece together a lot more wins in 2026. Now, does that mean playoffs? I'm not sure, but definitely more wins.
And I think as a fan, that's really what you can ask for. Of course, postseason is going to be the goal. Of course, making a run in championships eventually is going to be the goal for any organization, for any fan of an organization. But are you better than you were last year? Can you start to see those gears start to turn and those pieces start to fit together? I think that's the most realistic thing that you can hope for. I feel like I buried the lead here when we're talking about new additions to the Dallas Wings. You bring up Jose Fernandez. He gets hired from South Florida, the former South Florida women's basketball head coach. Jose Fernandez takes over as the head coach of the Dallas Wings. You've been at training camp. You've had some time now to kind of learn Jose Fernandez, whether it be through scrums or press conferences or any conversations that you've had. What is he like as a coach?
Yeah, he's really fun. He's really high energy, very confident. Something that I've appreciated is he's active on social media. And so he'll engage with the fans and stuff like that. So I think that's pretty cool. But a lot of the players, they're so high on him. Paige actually said that he reminds her of Gino Auriemma, the UConn women's coach. And so he's definitely very detail oriented. He told us on Sunday after the first day of practice that he yelled at AZ Fudd that first day, like basically saying, hey, you know, you're not going to pass up open shots. Like that's, you know, that's why we brought you here. You know, if you're open, you're going to shoot the ball. And so he just hasn't really been afraid to be vocal, challenging the players, and just setting those standards that they want to have here in Dallas.
And look, that's your job as a coach. I don't care if you're the number one overall pick or not. Like, your job is to coach. I think that's funny and like ironic in a way, or maybe coincidental in a way, that she said that he reminds her of Gino Auriemma, since you have two UConn stars in back-to-back drafts. But how much say do you think Jose Fernandez had in roster construction? Maybe what is that relationship like with Kurt Miller, who's making a majority of these decisions for this team?
I mean, I don't know like what happened behind closed doors, but I would like to think that there was a lot of collaboration, just like in the way that they talked about this roster, how they talked about their approach to AZ. I mean, Jose said right after he was hired, he went out to stores to go watch her. I had the opportunity to, you know, go out to Unrivaled in January too, and Kurt and Jose were there. And so I think that they are very collaborative. And I think that he probably did have some say. I can't say for sure, but I'd like to think so.
So I think that's becoming more and more obvious, at least to me, college level and pro level, if any sport, having that relationship. Head coach with the team, team with the head coach with the general manager and the decision makers in the front office, that synergy, that relationship, that kind of organizational structure, it is so paramount for a team's success. So if you have a head coach in Jose Fernandez and, you know, a general manager in Kurt Miller who are on the same page, who are collaborative, who are like Jose Fernandez says, hey, here's my vision. And Kurt Miller says, I got you. I'll go out and get those ingredients for you to cook this recipe. I think that means that the Dallas Wings have that light at the end of the tunnel. They have hope for the future.
I think so, too. And I think something that I've really noticed is they saw like what wasn't working last year and they addressed it. You know, coach wasn't working. They addressed it. They needed to increase their talent level. They addressed it. Shooting was poor last year. They got AZ FUD. They addressed it. And so I just think that they're really addressing the issues and they didn't wait. And I think that, you know, was impressive.
That being said, because I'm with you on that, that it is so clear what the plan was this past off season. Does that work? I don't know. Like for their sake, I hope it does, but I don't know. But it's clear what their plan was. I saw you tweeted out that this is the third consecutive year that the Dallas Wings have sold out season tickets. That is wildly impressive for a team that has not been very good over the past couple of years. But with all of that being said, the amount of money that's invested this past offseason, a new head coach, back-to-back number one overall picks, you're going to pack the house on any given night. What are the expectations for the Dallas Wings this year?
I think they're pretty high. Like I said, I don't know how the season's going to go because they're still, again, piecing everything together and those things take time. But I think fans they're hungry and they have high expectations. And I think that honestly explains some of this urgency that they've had. They know that they have, you know, a superstar in Paige. They know that they have all these tools. So I think the expectation will be to be winning a lot more. And the fans are very vocal online and in person. So there's definitely high expectations for sure.
And I think that the Wings can look at the blueprint of the Fever, another team that had back-to-back number one overall picks. And then fast forward to 2025, all the injuries that they had, they still found themselves in the WNBA semifinals. So that's, you know, you at least see recent history, a team that just did it, they can go from a team that's underperforming to a team that is in legit championship contention.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. They definitely have served as like a blueprint for what other teams can do.
No doubt. No doubt. I do want to get into some things that we heard from AZ FUD in her press conference on draft night. Maybe roll that forward from what you've seen in training camp. Before we get into that, though, I don't think, Maya, that we can talk about AZ FUD's draft night press conference without talking about all of the online discourse that followed a question from a reporter asking about AZ FUD and Paige Becker's relationship status, asked AZ FUD if they had asked any other couples in the WNBA about how you kind of work through that personal life when it mixes with professional life. There was so much debate and backlash and discussion on social media about, was that question appropriate? Should the Wings PR department have stepped in like they did? Was this handled correctly on both sides, or all three sides rather, by AZ, by the Wings PR, by the reporter? You were there. I mean, you have boots on the ground. You live this team. You breathe this team. What was your reaction to the discourse from that question?
You know, I really found the national attention that that press conference got fascinating. I think it shows that a lot of people are really paying attention to women's basketball. I think it also really just created a lot of discussion about like how should we be covering different leagues? How does the coverage look different across the different sports? And so I'm very fascinated to see what happens in the WNBA moving forward with coverage and just how the different teams handle it. Because, you know, those sorts of relationships are common in the league. And, it's definitely a topic of conversation.
We saw it last year with Dejanay Carrington and Alyssa Smith, you know, a couple that was on the same team. We've seen it with Duana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas. Like, this is not something that's unheard of in the W or in women's sports as a whole. So it's not something that, you know, that we are, it is brand new or first of its kind. But I think you bring up a very good point, which is, I think, the most important takeaway, at least for me, for all of this. We're talking about a WNBA draft night press conference. I remember a time when that wouldn't have been a conversation anywhere on social media platforms or in person by just, you know, regular casual sports fans. Now that interaction was one of the biggest stories in sports. I go back to, you know, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark when Iowa and LSU were playing in the national championship game. And, you know, Angel Reese was pointing to her ring finger, and that was being discussed on First Take, and it was on SportsCenter. It was on shows like this. Like, it was the number one story in sports. And I think of that the same way that I think of this, of whatever side you're on, whatever you believe, whether you thought that it was fair or foul or whatever your opinion might be, we're talking about it. Like, and that's a positive step in the right direction for this sport. I think that a little bit of controversy, I think a little bit of debate and a lot of discussion is good for the growth of the sport, because it's becoming ingrained in just a regular everyday conversation. And I'm sure it was a heck of a time in Dallas.
Yeah, and I think it also really just speaks to just the profile of these athletes now, because you mentioned, you know, there was a couple on the team last year, Dejanay and Alyssa. That relationship wasn't really discussed as much, but, you know, you look at Paige and AZ, and, you know, I don't know what their status is, and, like, I'm not, you know, commenting on their status or anything like that, but they're so high profile, and, you know, that plays into it. It's like I don't know that there's, you know, been a time like this now where we have so many high profile women's athletes that people want to talk about, and that they would care even about that exchange at all. And so I think that really speaks to just how high profile some of these athletes have become.
That's an important part in all of this, because I did see part of the discourse is, well, nobody was talking about this with Dejanay and Alyssa. And my pushback was the same. Well, those two weren't back-to-back number one overall picks who won a national championship together at the most historic and storied women's basketball franchise in college basketball. Like, it's the same reason why in the NFL, random Joe Schmo player isn't asked about his significant other, but Travis Kelce's asked about Taylor Swift. It's because, well, this guy's significant other is not the number one pop star in the world. Like, you know, when you're a high-profile person that's, you know, with someone or allegedly with someone or connected to somebody else with A-list status, with, you know, high-profile status, people care about that. That's what's going to be asked about. So I think that is another part, too, that AZ Fudd and Paige Beckers, household names, not just in women's basketball spaces, but in just spaces in general.
Something that I did notice, too, just, like, with the discourse is sometimes I do feel like some of the more, like, viral moments in women's basketball, like, often don't have much to do, like, with the basketball. And so that's, like, for me, a little bit frustrating. Like, sometimes I want to see people paying attention when it's not, like, somebody's relationship, or it's not so-and-so got into a fight on the court. And so, you know, hopefully with time and, you know, as more people watch, we see, you know, more of these big moments happen because of what they did in the court and less because of, like, interpersonal type of drama. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I do feel like sometimes the most viral moments may feed into stereotypes of women. And that is frustrating. I think you can view it two different ways. And I do view it two different ways. One, it may break down a barrier that, hey, this story came out and now, hey, all of a sudden I'm getting Dallas Wings tweets all up. I'm getting Maya Taylor reports all on my Twitter page, and it kind of sucks you in. And so maybe it's a barrier to entry to a sport that maybe somebody didn't have initial interest in. But on the other side, it also does feed into negative stereotypes, and it does give, you know, space for people that are anti-WNBA, anti-women's sports, let's be honest, anti-women. It gives them kind of a space to say, I told you so. So it is a double-edged sword a little bit.
Yeah. So it's, but I think like every league has this in its own way. You know, the NBA, the NFL, whatever, they didn't start off being what they are now. They all had growing pains. And so WNBA is just at an earlier stage and its growth. I mean, it's only been around for 30 years. That's not really that long of a time. And so we'll just see like how these conversations evolve. And hopefully, you know, like you said, they see this stuff and then they're like, oh, let me actually check out the game and see how these players are. So it's definitely an interesting time.
And I think that's our job too as reporters, intentional reporting, not just taking the, you know, the biggest stories about relationships or, you know, viral moments, although we love relationships and viral moments, but being intentional in our coverage and telling the stories of the people and the sport off and on the court. I think that's the next step that we can all take in coverage of women's sports and women's basketball. Absolutely. I do want to get into, though, some other moments from AZ Fudd's press conference, because there were some other great bites that she had that maybe didn't go quite as viral. I think one fascinating aspect of that, that transition from college to the W is the speed. I mean, you go from you're in the NCAA tournament to now all of a sudden you're in the draft, and then now it's training camp, and then the season starts. And Caitlin Clark talked about this last offseason was the first time in like 2 years she had a chance to just breathe and reflect on her career and in her life and everything that had happened for her over the past couple of years. AZ Fudd is experiencing that same kind of transition. Tournament, draft, training camp, ultimately into the grind of a season, and a season that's more than likely going to have more eyeballs than it ever has before. Before we hear from her personally, what have you kind of seen from her or observed from that transition for her?
Yeah, no, the timeline is absolutely crazy. It's like, crazy. I just can't imagine being, you know, like fresh out of college and that being my life where, you know, you're in Phoenix for the Final Four and then you're in New York for the draft. And then now you are moving to Dallas and talking to the media and just doing all that. So I, you know, as a young woman, like I really empathize with like, just like what they're going through. Cause that's gotta be insane. But, you know, I think that she has a very strong support system. Her family was actually at the press conference last week, and I was able to get some one-on-one time with AZ after, you know, she was on the panel, and I did ask her about that, just like, how do you handle all of this, and, you know, also all this media coverage too, like while you're going through this transition. And she just said she really relies on her faith, her family, and her friends, and she's got a lot of people supporting her. I know Dallas, like they've really like welcomed her, and they've done a lot of like cool stuff to just make her feel at home. And I think that kind of helps. And I think similar, like, you know, you brought up Caitlin, but Paige went through the same thing last year where it was just like insane. Although I think training camp or just the season's moved up a week or so than it was last year. So the timeline was even faster. Like AZ got drafted Monday, had her intro press conference Thursday, started training camp this past Sunday.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
I know
W players who've talked about wanting a longer training camp, and I do get that. But when I heard that, I was like, well, how, like, there's no room. Like, we're going back to March, and March is a pretty important month here in women's basketball in general. You mentioned they've done some cool things to help AZ feel welcome. What are some of those things you've seen?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just take a look at their social media, they really have gone all in on the whole People's Princess theme. That was her name. Yeah, so they've done a lot just with their social media with that. At her press conference, her teammates were wearing pink and just like different members of their staff. They really have leaned into that. And so I thought that was like a pretty cool way to make her feel welcome.
Oh, I love that. I've loved the photo shoots, the pink boots, the tiara. Play uh-huh. into it. That's going to be a strong, strong brand in Dallas moving forward. But I do want to hear from AZ, her reaction to what this rapid timeline and this crazy transition from UConn to the Dallas Wings has looked like for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's a super quick turnaround, but this is the best my body has felt. I'm super excited to be here, to finally be here, to meet some of my teammates, to meet the staff. So like you said, it's a quick turnaround. I think just being super intentional since the beginning of this past season started with my diet, with just my regimen, with my sleep schedule, with everything going on. I'm trying to control what I can control because I knew that this next year was going to be chaos. So I think just continuing being disciplined and how I take care of myself, take care of my body. But I feel as prepared as I can be going into this.
When did you realistically think, you know, November, December, whenever that this was going to happen, that you could be a teammate with Paige again, on the professional level?
My honest answer, Monday night. I mean, my mindset this whole past college season was just stay in the present, focus on my team, focus on winning. Focus on getting better every single day. I knew that if I took care of what I needed to in my college season, what was going to happen at the draft was going to happen. I was going to land where I was meant to be, whether that was here with the Wings or in a different organization. So I really trusted that if I took care of what I needed to every single day in college, that I would land where I was supposed to be. And wherever that looked like, whoever that was with, I was going to be grateful. And I couldn't be happier with how that worked out and where I am now.
So there you go. That was AZ Fudd in her introductory press conference and doing all the right things and, of course, saying all the right things. And I also think, Maya, that coming from UConn, I mean, obviously we know it is a professional basketball factory, just creates great player after great player. They know how to not just media train and not just basketball train, but train for everything that might come to you and for you as a professional. So I think that, you know, AZ having 5 years in that atmosphere of UConn is absolutely beneficial. I also wondered too, in the NIL era, AZ's making money, Paige made money in college, Caitlin was making money in college, and now AZ is going to be the richest rookie in the history of the WNBA. Like, I also think that kind of prepares these players for this next level as well.
For sure, for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I actually did a CBA story recently because the Wings have, they have a lot of different generations on their training camp roster right now. Like, you know, people like Alicia Clark, who was drafted in 2010. And, you know, she was talking about how her draft photos were taken in a conference room. And so that just kind of shows, yeah, that kind of shows how far things have come. And, you know, the fact that they get that sort of head start, that's the way that Paige described it. In college, where, you know, you're already learning how to talk to the media, you're already kind of developing that brand savvy, how to market yourself. That's been so huge. Like, you know, there's been people that have been the building blocks, I guess you could say, for the league and women's basketball getting to where it is now. And, you know, credit to them for where it's due. But a lot of these younger players, because of that groundwork that was laid for them, they are really like helping elevate this to the next level, you know, with the Angel Reese's, with Caitlin, with AZ, with Paige. And yeah, they really do carry themselves professionally. I personally think that Paige and AZ, I'm still kind of getting to know AZ, but they're just very mature for their years. And they have a very good knowledge of how to navigate media and how to navigate the landscape. And it's very impressive.
It is. I mean, I think about just the sheer amount of money that they've made at such a young age and doing these brand deals. You know, obviously we see Paige on so many, on Nike and Gatorade commercials. I've seen so many AZ commercials throughout March Madness that they have experience at a young age representing something much larger than themselves. And of course you have that. Any player has that whenever you represent a program and a school. But whenever you're representing a multi-billion dollar brand and you have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on the line with your relationship with that brand, how you carry yourself surrounding that brand, that forces you to grow up pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you can, like I said, you can really tell. They're very professional and even just professional in their approach. That's actually something that Jose has talked about, where he was like, you can tell like who showed up to training camp, that like you can tell who's a professional. And, you know, that's actually a question I had asked AZ at her intro press conference. You know, UConn's had so many top players come out of there. They're, you know, so many of them are NBA, WNBA ready. They've had several number one picks. And she just kind of, like what you were saying, it's the way that that program is run that makes them so prepared for this.
So you've been at training camp the past couple of days, kind of getting your first look at the 2026 Dallas Wings. What were some of your biggest takeaways? What have you seen?
Yeah, I think there's been a pretty big emphasis on defense. I think they have some decisions that they're going to have to make soon. The gym, I mean, I've heard that like this can be a standard number, but I don't know. I'm still kind of learning. They had like 17 people at training camp. They have 22 people signed to their roster. So that gym was very full, although five of them are not here yet. And they did just make some cuts this morning. So I guess they're down to 15 in the gym, but they've been really working defense and just like setting that standard. Like I said, I've really seen Paige taking leadership, like being more vocal. And so I like what I'm seeing. I think that they're really trying to build their culture.
How is Paige different this offseason than maybe her rookie year?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw the joke, but last year, Dejanay kind of trolled her about needing to get some sunlight. And so Paige came back to training camp. She was tan this year. She took over the admin for the Dallas Wings and was like, I'm tan. She also really she gained strength in the offseason. You can tell that she's been in the weight room. And the other thing is she's just more vocal. And that's not to say she wasn't vocal last year, but I think that she really tried to kind of respect who is there and, you know, just be a sponge because she was a rookie. And now that she, you know, was at Unrivaled and she did some stuff with Team USA and, you know, she has that first WNBA season under her belt, I really can tell that those experiences have empowered her and she's ready to go for year two.
It is so cool to watch that in real time, to find a player, find their confidence, find their voice, kind of find their space. Because one thing about Paige is she's got a big personality and always has.
Yeah.
So to see like the layers of her personality peel back a little bit and see her confidence level and comfort level to really let that show is so fun to watch from afar. And I'm sure so fun to see actually in person.
Yeah. No, Paige has just been such a joy to cover. She's just like a very fascinating person to me because of those layers where she can be kind of goofy, kind of silly, but she's also just very driven and like there's an intensity about her at the same time. And so I'm really excited to see what she does this season. And I remember like the regular season finale, she told the fans the results are coming. Like she's very committed to like taking Dallas from a team that was struggling to being a championship level team. And will that happen this year? I don't know. But I know that she's committed to, you know, bringing Dallas a championship.
I also saw that you tweeted out a story about how Paige was studying sharks in Croatia. Because I think that's one of the best parts about covering a team on a day-to-day basis. It's not just seeing the X's and O's and seeing the progression on the court. It's all the other things that remind you like, oh yeah, by the way, these are people.
Yeah.
So what's up with Paige's shark studies in Croatia?
Yeah.
So it sounds like Mad Libs.
Yeah, so that's like, it's a little bit of a joke. She wasn't actually studying sharks in Croatia. She went to go visit her friend, Nika Mule. She is recovering from ACL surgery. She got picked up by the Portland Fire or the Toronto Tempo. I don't remember, but one of those teams in the expansion draft. But she's recovering from that. Paige and her are very close. They played at UConn together. So she went out there before training camp to just support her friend. But a lot of fans were joking that she was conducting research on sharks while she was out there. And she did say, I think on Instagram, that she can confirm that there are sharks like in the sea by Croatia. So that's just like a little joke, but she, you know, she was really just there to support her friend.
What a bunch of goofballs. What yeah. are some other fun stories that we wouldn't necessarily hear on a daily basis?
Yeah. Something that I thought was funny was Coach Fernandez said that he likes house music. So like Tiesto and Swedish House Mafia. He's from Miami, so, you know, that's kind of in his background, I suppose. The other thing, Alana Smith, she's become noteworthy on TikTok for just reviewing coffee and different places where she's at. And so I'm sure we'll be seeing some DFW coffee reviews from her. And so, yeah, there's a lot of personalities on this team.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Next time I'm in Dallas, I'm going to have to check out her TikTok and just see exactly where. I need to go grab a cup of coffee where I need to steer clear of. Oh, I love that. Anything else, Maya, that you've has caught your eye or that you're keeping an eye on over the next couple of days in training camp?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be making some cuts mm-hmm. in the next few days. They made a couple this morning. They waived Cheyenne Sellers and Grace Sullivan. And they're going to have to cut at least six more people before they open their season against the Indiana Fever. So should be interesting to see who makes this final roster.
Decisions to make. But you bring up that game. I'm so glad that the W is giving us matchups like that in the first weekend of the season. Last four first round picks, yep. Paige and Caitlin and AZ and Aaliyah Boston. Oh, I'm so ready for that. I know all of the listeners of Hoops 360 will be keeping an eye on you and your coverage, not just for that game, but throughout the entirety of the offseason and the W season. So Maya, where can people find your work and read your lovely reporting on the Dallas Wings?
Yeah. So my work can be found at dallasnews.com. We've really dove into covering the Wings. It's been really fun. And then I'm on Twitter at @T_Maya, MYAH. And that's where you can find different updates about the Wings and all of that. So,
Maya Taylor, you are an absolute rock star. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for all of your insight into this team. I said it before, I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. I'm so intrigued and so interested in this Dallas Wings team. It sounds like it's going to be a blast. Sounds like they're already having a blast in training camp. And I'm excited to see how that comes to fruition in the regular season. So appreciate you, Maya.
Thanks, Caroline.
I appreciate everybody for tuning in today's edition of Hoops 360. And again, thank you so much to Maya Taylor for joining the pod and giving us an inside look on the Dallas Wings. If you agree or disagree with any of our thoughts, you have some questions, have some takes, add a new perspective to our podcast, feel free to comment down below if you're watching on the YouTube page. But of course, you can also listen to us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll be back next week. So we'll talk to you then.